Spirit Radio Podcasts.
Well, in January, our next guest's husband had a serious and life-changing bike accident while commuting to work. The accident left him lying in a coma in Beaumont Hospital. Naturally enough, life has totally changed for him and for his family. And the coronavirus pandemic has also hugely impacted him. You know, one of those areas of just visitors being allowed to come and see him. On the line to tell us more about what happened and indeed about their fundraising appeal called Walk Des Home, we have Des's wife, Tara Dalton, on the line. Tara, morning to you.
Hi, Wendy. Thanks for having me.
So before you tell us a little bit about what happened to Des and about that accident, just tell us a little bit about him. What was his lifestyle and life like before the accident?
Des was very active, very outgoing personality. We run a business called Irish Village Markets. So he was very involved in that, loved what he did. A great person. Full of energy, really, and very positive individual.
And obviously a real people person dealing with so many different businesses and traders with the businesses that you ran together.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah.
So tell us a little bit, Tara, just as much as you want to share with us about what happened to Des and the accident that happened in January.
Okay. It was the 8th of January. He was cycling through town, going from one market to another. He went over the Samuel Beckett Bridge, turned right onto the Keys on the riverside, the Keys onto the cycle track. And we're not really sure what happened, Wendy, but he came off his bike. And when he came off his bike, he hit his head off one of the concrete, half-moon-shaped concrete bollards that separate the road from the pathway. And he had a cycling helmet on, and he actually wore a motorbike jacket as well. But neither of them saved him, and so he suffered two huge bleeds on the brain, and he cracked his skull, and he had to have a craniotomy done in Beaumont later that evening.
And what happened next then, Tara? When did you know how severe Des's injuries were?
He was brought up to the Richmond ICU, and he was put on life support machine, and he was in a coma for about about a week, and he was in ICU for nearly 2 weeks. So I suppose during that time, you know, they were able to, of course it was really serious, they were able to tell us, you know, it was touch and go for the first 10 days, But at that stage, they were only able to see what parts of the brain had been affected. Of course, a brain injury is serious, but they didn't know what the outcome would be at that stage. They were guessing, really, at that stage. They were talking of, like, they would gauge it in terms of years rather than weeks or months, you know. And I remember when she said that to me, a year from now, I nearly died. I couldn't believe it, really, that's the time frame that we were talking about, you know.
Yeah, I imagine you're just in total shock for quite a time.
Total shock, yeah. You're just trying to process what's happened. You know, your life is perfect one day, and in the blink of an eye, everything changes, you know. And I suppose you never really think at that stage. Like, I sort of thought we might go to Connemara in the summer, you know, that he would be sort of back on his feet by the summer. I never really thought that this could happen, you know.
And what happened next, Tara? Was he taken to a rehabilitation hospital?
So he went from Beaumont, we transferred him to St. Vincent's, and he was in St. Vincent's for 3 months then after that, and that's, we were there when COVID came to town. Now I was allowed to see him in St. Vincent's on compassionate grounds, so I was in with him all the way through that. And then on the 8th of May he was moved to the National Rehabilitation Hospital in Dunleary, and he's been there since.
And has family been able to visit Des there, Tara?
Well, when he went in first, then they had very strict policy in place around visiting, and I wasn't allowed in for the first 4 weeks. And
that must have been agonising for you.
Oh, it was awful. It was just awful to see him on a screen, and Des can't speak, so he can't communicate with me. You know,
so your communication is squeezing the hand and being there, being present.
Yeah, like he blinks his eyes and he can whisper a few words, but. Yeah, it was just awful when I couldn't go in, and I was really upset, and he started to regress, you know, and like he was sort of saying a few words before we went, and I remember the day he was going, I sort of moving to the NRH, I said to him, "Are you looking forward to it?" And he whispered, "The sooner the better." And they took him in, and they wouldn't let me through the door, and he had a sore on his back, and they put him into bed because that was the priority, to get rid of the sore, and that was the only way to do it. And I don't think the poor guy knew what was going on, really, you know. And he started to regress. So about 4 weeks later, I think the nursing staff saw that they had to let me in. So they got me in. And then I was allowed in nearly every day during the summer. And then when level three came in there in September, they stopped all visiting again. And that was the night I walked out of the hospital that night, knowing I wasn't going to... see him again for a while, and I decided I have to bring him home because he's only seen the kids three times over the summer.
How old are your children, Tara?
My kids are 9 and 12.
Gosh.
Yeah, so they saw Des for the first time after 6 months after the accident. That was the first time they could get to see him.
And how have they been coping? It must be very difficult for you to try and be strong for them, but it, you know, 6 months in the life of a 9-year-old and a 12-year-old might as well be 6 years.
I remember when it happened first, and I said to my little one, I was trying to tell her that Dad had an accident, and she was sort of saying to me, "When will he be home?" And at that stage I said, "Oh, he'll be home in a month." You know, and she started to cry, and she's like, "A month? I can't, like, you know, that's such a long time. A month is such a long time to a 9, if she was then 8, to an 8-year-old, you know." She couldn't believe that she wasn't going to see her dad for an 8, but it actually was 6 months before they got to see him. So, yeah, like, their worlds have been turned upside down. You know, I think my 12-year-old really misses him. It's a very bad age for your father not to be around. He's just gone into first year. Des would have done a lot of training, you know, football training with his football team. So it's a big loss for Daniel, you know. And
it seems almost inhumane that they haven't been allowed to see their father in such a long time, Tara.
Yeah, well, like, they have now seen him a few times, but again, they haven't seen him now for a couple of months. And yeah, it's you know, this is why, we have a video of Des up on the GoFundMe page. And on that video, you see when the kids meet him for the first time, and you can see the difference in Des's face when he sees the children. Do you know, like, he smiles, and that smile holds for about 20 minutes, half an hour, and he's just so delighted to see them. And, you know, after they stopped me going in and allowed me back in to the hospital, you know, he started to improve little by little again, and... I just feel it's...
Being at home is going to help his recovery, and being able to see his family and being able to be with you, his wife.
Absolutely.
So tell us a bit about that. It makes perfect sense, I know, to anybody listening, why you would want to, as the fundraising appeal is called, walk Des home. But tell us a little bit about it, and in practical terms, what you need to be able to have Des at home, Tara.
Yeah, so I've just sort of... I'm looking at the next 2 years. That's all I can do. You know, I can't think further than that, because who knows what's going to happen. So in those days at the moment, he needs 24/7 care. He can't do really anything for himself. So the HSE will give me a package, but I'm nearly sure it won't be anywhere near what we need. So I have to fill the gaps after that. So I imagine I'll get something like 40, 50 hours a week from the HSE, and then I have to fill the gaps. So he needs, you know, I'll have to have carers, nurses, overnight carers, because he needs to be turned a couple of times a night. He will then need physio, he will need OT, he'll need osteopathy. He may need to go to the UK or Germany for more intensive rehab next year. First of all, the initial priority is to get him home. And
you feel, just in terms of the benefit in terms of his care, Tara, you feel he'll do much better at home rather than in the rehab hospital simply because he can't be with you?
Well, he's due for discharge actually today from the rehab, but they've kindly said that they'll keep him until we get a plan, because I have to move house as well, so until we get a proper plan and a package in place. So yeah, absolutely, I believe it's the only, because under normal circumstances he would probably move on to somewhere like the Royal Hospital in Donnybrook, or he'd do a shared care, so he'd come home for a couple of days. Just with the way COVID is, that can't happen at the moment. And I really do feel that mental well-being is so important to his physical recovery, you know. And, you know, being cut off from us, it's not good for anything.
It's not right.
This is his hour of need, you know. He needs to be with his family and friends. And usually, under normal circumstances, we would have all been going in and out of the hospital. You know, he would have been able to come home for a couple of nights at this stage, at the weekends. None of that can happen at the moment, you know. And I can see that he's indicated to me that he's really, really lonely. So I've been left in a situation because of what's going on that I have actually no choice but to bring him home. Yeah. I can't put my.
It's one of these hidden, really detrimental impacts of this, of the restrictions of this pandemic that people mightn't have thought about, and you've certainly opened their eyes to it this morning, Tara. How can people support your fundraising campaign?
Yeah, we have a GoFundMe page. So it's GoFundMe.ie, and it's Walk Des Home, and. You know, the response to it has been absolutely phenomenal, and I'd just like to say a huge, huge thank you to everybody who supported us, because without everybody's support, I wouldn't be able to do this, you know, because it's so, so expensive to have the sort of care at home that Des needs.
Well, Tara, thank you so much for joining us on the programme today, and you certainly have my prayers, and I'm sure the prayers of many listeners today, for yourself, the children, and for Des to make a full recovery, and please God, you will be able to get him home.
Thank you, Wendy. Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.